On May 13th, 2017, John Henry Barrett died in a hospital near his home in Florida, USA. When doctors completed the death certificate, they listed the cause of death as complications from a gunshot wound. You see, John Henry Barrett had been in a fight and he'd been shot. The complications of the gunshot wound didn't kill him immediately, but eventually they took his life. But what makes the death of John Henry Barrett so unique is that he wasn't shot on the day he died. In fact, he wasn't shot the week he died. In fact, he wasn't shot the year he died. Surprisingly, John Henry Barrett had been shot way back in 1958, 59 years earlier. The gunshot wound didn't kill him at once, and he survived for 59 years, but eventually he died from complications from the wound. How is that even possible? Well, when John Henry Barrett was shot, doctors decided not to remove the bullet from his body. They thought he'd be better off leaving the bullet inside. And at first, it seemed like they were correct. But the bullet wound never fully healed. And over time, the deadly consequences escalated. Eventually, the bullet fired in 1958 killed John Henry Barrett in 2017. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the tragic but true story of John Henry Barrett. You see, we've all been wounded in life. We've been the victim of words and actions as children that have wounded and hurt us. And most of us think that we'll just ignore it or forget about it. We think that with time, the wound will heal. But unfortunately, the deadly consequences begin to escalate. When we don't deal with the wounds from the past, the consequences eventually catch up to us. If we don't deal with how we feel, the complications from past wounds complicate our present relationships. And the hurts that we endure eventually result in death. So how can we heal from past wounds? How can we prevent complications complicating our current lives? That's what we're going to discover this morning in our sermon entitled Consideration. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that you have loved us so much, that you sent your Son Jesus to redeem us. Not only that, on this Sunday, we celebrate that you sent your Spirit on the day of Pentecost to fill us. And every effort and every action you took was to bring us to the place where we could connect with you and connect with others in love. But Lord, we acknowledge today that there are barriers in our own hearts that have prevented us from loving as we should. So we come before you today in humility and we ask you to remove those barriers, heal those hurts, take away the complications from our past and uncomplicate our lives today. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to bring us life and light, the power to transform us from the inside out so that everything about our lives is made new. We thank you that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and our lives will be touched. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I want to encourage you to join your faith with mine right now, all across the auditorium. Put your hand on your chest and pray with me. Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to Agape House New Testament Church. If you're joining us online, we say a big welcome to you. Also, last weekend, we had 43 different nations joining us here at Agape House Online, and we're glad that you're here today. May the power and the presence of the Lord touch you right where you are. This is a great and a special weekend because, first of all, it's Pentecost weekend. This is the day we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God sent a new wave of the Spirit to bring new life, to take us to a new level. He was raising up a new generation, a new type of people that would share his love everywhere. And that's what we celebrate here at Agape House. And we're doing that by celebrating Children's Weekend because we believe just as Pentecost came to bring a new wave of a new generation in the world, so we're raising up a new generation of kids. And we're here to celebrate our children, their workers, and all that God is doing at Agape Kids. Can you give them a big round of applause today, all of our kids? Amen. And of course, it's a great weekend because you're here and I'm here. And this is the second week in our sermon series called It's Complicated. Turn to your neighbor and say, It's Complicated. Well, all through the month of June, we're on a journey to discover the truths that will help bring hope and healing and happiness to all the relationships in your life. And today, to help us learn the truth, we've printed sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin. They look like this, and I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover how to uncomplicate our lives by learning consideration. Amen. They're at the top of your notes and on the screen ahead of you. It's our scripture text for today. It's a continuation from our scripture text last weekend. This weekend, we're reading Romans 12, verses 18 to 21, and I believe the Word of God will have the most impact when we speak it out from a heart of faith. So I'm going to invite everybody here to join me and read it like you mean it. Are you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Ready, go. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's read that last sentence again. Ready, go. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now, before we break down this scripture and find out exactly what it means to us, we're going to do a little experiment, all right? I'm going to divide the church right in half, right down the middle here between these two handsome gentlemen on the front row, all the way down. Everybody on this side, you're group A, amen? And everybody on this side, you're group B, all right? Don't feel bad, A, B, it doesn't matter. All right, so right down the middle, and here's what we're going to do. When I say go, I'm going to ask everybody in group A, turn to your neighbor and ask them about something external in their life. How's your health? How's your job? How's your family? Where do you live? If you're a lady, you can say, where did you get that amazing dress? Amen. If you're a guy, you can say, did you watch the match last night? All right, okay. So when I say go, hold it. Don't ask anything too personal. I mean, keep it to externals, externals only, all right? That's group A. All right, group B, when I say go, you're going to turn to your neighbor and ask a different question, all right? So when I say go, you ask that question. When I say go all at once, you, group B, are going to turn to your neighbor and ask, how are your emotions? Go. Wait. What is wrong with group B? What is wrong with you guys? I mean, if you look over at group A, everybody's like, hey, and you look at group B and they're like, what is wrong with you guys? You have a simple question. How are your emotions? But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is so embarrassing. I am never coming to Agape House again. I don't want to talk about my emotions. Because the fact is, we find it easier to monitor externals than internals. We can monitor our blood pressure. We can monitor our hair and our clothing. We can monitor our bank account. But we don't like to monitor our emotions. We're good at monitoring externals, but not internals. But the true measure of life is not what's happening outside, but what's going on inside. Just like John Henry Barrett, you can look good on the outside. You can have everything externally look fine, but if there's a bullet wound inside of you, it's leading to your death, and it won't end well. If you have everything going well on the outside, your hair is perfect, your makeup is perfect, your bank account is in the red, everything is going well, but inside you're full of emotional turmoil, your life will be in turmoil. And the reason for that is that emotions are most closely linked to relationships, much more so than externals. Most of our deepest connected relationships have nothing to do with externals, but they have a lot to do with emotions. And nothing complicates emotions, relationships as much as emotions. Toxic emotions lead to toxic relationships. Complicated emotions complicate relationships. So if you want better relationships, if you want to live at peace with everyone, you have to consider the internal factors that affect your relationships. You have to learn how to use your emotions to build relationships rather than destroy. That's why last week we began this series by looking at the internal barriers to connection. We all know that God created us to connect with Him and to connect with one another. He put us in the garden originally with perfect unity and connection, but something happened that caused internal barriers to be erected that separated us or disconnected us from God and one another. There was a spirit of inadequacy, feeling that we weren't enough, and that led to chasing an image that would create an external image that wasn't real, and that led to taking responsibility for being irresponsible, and our emotions give voice to those internal barriers and cause us to disconnect from God and from others. So in order to get back to having healthy, happy relationships, you have to deal with how you feel. So this morning, I'm going to give you three things to consider in order to deal with how you feel and become considerate. And here's your first consideration. Consider the role of emotions. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word role. And let me read again for you Romans 12, 18 and 19. The Bible says, "Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge." Now understand that God is very wise and everything He says has a reason. When He says live at peace, the very first thing He says after that is do not take revenge. He begins by addressing our emotions because revenge is an emotion-driven reaction to hurt. So God says live at peace and the first step is don't take revenge. Take control over your emotions, for emotions complicate relationships. Emotions will hinder peace if we don't handle them properly. Now understand, there's nothing wrong with emotions. Emotions are natural and they're normal. And even sometimes the things we consider to be negative emotions aren't inherently bad. For example, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, when you are angry, don't let that anger make you sin, and don't stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Surprisingly, God doesn't condemn anger. He's talking about how you respond to anger. He's talking about your emotional reaction to the anger inside of you. We all feel anger at times, but it's what you do with the anger that makes the difference. That's what caused the end of one of the shortest marriages in the history of the world. Just back in April of this year, a bride and groom went to the marriage court in Kuwait. They stood before the judge, pledged their lives to one another, and signed the marriage contract. But as they turned to leave the courtroom, the bride accidentally tripped and stumbled and fell down. And according to QB News, the groom began to ridicule her and mock her for being clumsy. And the bride got angry. She was so enraged, she turned around to the judge that had just married them and demanded that he divorced them. The marriage lasted 3 minutes. Tell your neighbor 3 minutes. Hey! Ready? So when you get angry, that's a common response, but don't let it lead to sin. See, it's interesting when God says when you get angry, not if you get angry. He knows that we're going to have these emotions, for the fact is God Himself has emotions. The Bible tells us in Genesis 6:6, the Lord was sorry that He had made people on the earth. It made Him very sad in His heart. So God felt sorrow. In Mark 3:5, Jesus looked at the people. He was angry, but He felt very sad because they were so stubborn. Jesus had anger. Jesus had disappointment. In Luke 19, Jesus saw Jerusalem and wept over it. God Himself has emotions, and He created us to be like Him, and we have emotions. So God understands and God cares about your emotions. In fact, David wrote in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And I'm here to declare to you today, if you came with a broken heart or you came with a wounded spirit, God is near to you and He's coming to minister to you. For the Bible says in Psalm 147 verse 3, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God has emotions. He created you to have emotions, and He comes to help us with our emotions because God knows that emotions are necessary for connected relationships. Here's what you need to remember about the role of emotions. The more you care, the more you feel. Emotions reveal what you care about. When a marriage or a relationship gets to the place where people don't care, that relationship is in trouble. You're going out? I don't care. Call me? I don't care. Husbands, let me give you some advice. Your wife would rather you put down the remote and argue with her than sit there like a zombie watching the match. It's not good to argue, but at least the argument shows that you care. Because when a relationship stops caring, a relationship starts to end. That's the difference between a casual relationship and a connected relationship. It's emotion. Casual relationships are only based on conduct. I have no emotional connection to my Uber driver. It's a casual relationship based only on conduct. Conduct that we both accept and agree. He drives, I pay. He gets me safely where I want to go. I won't destroy his car, all right? That's a casual, non-emotional relationship. Casual relationships are governed only by conduct, but connected relationships are governed by conduct and emotion. The more connected you are, the more emotions you have. And the more emotions you have, the more complicated the relationship can become. That's why our most connected relationships are our most complicated. If my son misbehaves, he's still my son. If my son misbehaves, I can't give him a bad rating on the father-son app and get out of his life. That's why those you love the most can hurt you the most. If I'm walking on Lagos Avenue going to KFC and a madman insults me, I'll laugh. If some pastor I've never met in Kumasi insults me, I'll pray for him. If one of my own pastors at Agape House insults me, I will feel very upset and I'll probably sack him. And if my wife insults me, which she never does, thank God, I will cry. Because the closer you are, the more you feel. And that's why we've got to control our emotions. To succeed at deep connected relationships requires that we monitor not just our conduct, but our emotions. That's why Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool expresses all his emotions, but a wise person controls them. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you about the role of emotions. Emotions make connected relationships meaningful, but uncontrolled emotions make connected relationships miserable. Turn your notes over to page 2 and tell your neighbor it's miserable. So how can we begin to control our emotions and have better relationships? That brings us to our second consideration today. You've got to consider your reaction to your emotions. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word reaction. Let me read Romans 12, verse 19 in its entirety. It says, leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So the scripture begins to lay out step by step practical things you and I can do to connect with one another and to have uncomplicated relationships. He says, first of all, you've got to address the emotion, and then secondly, you've got to address your reaction. You've got to make room for God. You've got to leave it for God. You've got to get yourself out of the way and let God take over. Don't hold on to bitterness. Don't be vengeful, but let God do his work. For the fact is, unforgiveness shuts God out. God won't sort it out when you shut him out. So how should you react to your emotions? Well, a lot of us make the mistake of stifling our emotions inside of us. We think, especially in our culture here in Ghana, we think that displays of emotion are bad. And for us as men, we're told never to show our emotion. That's what David tried for a while in Psalm 39, 2 and 3. He said, I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. And here's the problem with stifling your emotions. The more you bottle it up, the more it burns inside of you. For David said, I became very angry inside. And as I thought about it, my anger burned. So stifling and ignoring your emotions don't decrease them. They increase your emotions. And when that happens, you get in trouble. For David said in Psalm 32, 3 and 4, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. When you stifle your emotion, they increase and your life goes into turmoil. So instead of stifling and stuffling and bottling your emotions, you have to examine them. You have to consider them. Why am I reacting with these feelings? Because oftentimes the emotions in your relationships are a result from past wounds. They have a root in a past hurt. The fact is, we all have past hurts and past wounds internally in our hearts, and they're affecting the way we relate to others. When I was just 2 years old, I was a great-looking kid, one of the handsomest boys ever lived. I was just 2 years old. I was standing one day outside my home in San Diego, California, USA, when all of a sudden a young boy riding his bicycle up the street lost control and slammed into me. He knocked me to the ground, and unfortunately, he braked and stopped his bicycle so that the front tire landed right on my nose. Can you believe that? What happened is when his bicycle tire rested on my nose at 2 years of age, my nose went inside my head and disappeared. You could put your hand directly across my face from cheek to cheek. There was no nose there. Well, my mom panicked and screamed. She picked me up, ran me, rushed me to the emergency room at the hospital. And while we were waiting to see the doctor, all of a sudden my nose popped out. That's why it's so good looking, because it had a little work on it. Went in and came out, yeah. The funny thing is, you would think an accident like that, which was nearly fatal and could have really, really, really hurt, I have no memory of the pain. I don't remember the feeling, the pain of my nose going in or my nose coming out. But I remember the pain of something said to me 50 years ago. I don't remember the pain of an accident that could have taken my life, but I remember what happened to me in junior secondary school, in primary school, in kindergarten, because the internal wounds are just as real as the external. We think time will eradicate them, but our hidden hurts are the memories of abuse, the memories of insults, the memories of criticism, the memories of ridicule, of pain. And even though we don't see the emotional scars outwardly, the consequences complicate our relationships. In fact, a lot of the emotions we all feel, anger, fear, greed, insecurity, those are originating from wounds, and we carry those hidden hurts into every relationship. But the fact is, complications from past wounds complicate your present relationships, and our behavior today is affected by things that happened to us long ago. That's a lesson we can learn from a young lady named Beatrice. Beatrice grew up in a home where there seemed to be almost no love. Everybody was out for himself. And to make matters worse, Beatrice was the youngest child, and she had older brothers who were bigger and stronger than her. So oftentimes, all the food would be taken, and Beatrice was left to go hungry. And her brothers would laugh at her as they grabbed food out of her hand and off her plate. Beatrice grew up very suspicious of other people. Beatrice grew up not trusting everybody. Beatrice grew up looking at everybody as if they were trying to take something away from her. So when Beatrice became an adult, she had an angry attitude. Well, one day Beatrice was traveling on business to London. She went to Kotoka International Airport, and her flight was delayed. So to pass the time, she went to the airport shop and bought a newspaper and a bag of plantain chips. She settled down in a seat in the lounge to read the paper, when all of a sudden, out of the corner of her eye, she noticed that a gentleman had come and sat down next to her, and that he had opened her bag of plantain chips and started eating them. Well, Beatrice was furious. All the memories of the past of people taking from her what she needed and laughing at her came back, and she became so furious she started shaking. She was in an airport, and she didn't want to cause a commotion because she was afraid they might think she was a terrorist and kick her off the flight. So she maintained her cool, but she gave the man sitting next to her the dirtiest, meanest Teshi Nungwa look she could. I mean, she was nearly spitting at him. And then she thought to herself, if he's going to eat my chips, I better start eating them so he doesn't get them all. So she grabbed a handful, put them in her mouth, and looked at him and chewed with her mouth open. The man looked at her, and he grabbed a handful of chips and put them in his mouth and chewed with his mouth open. There they are. She grabbed some, he grabbed some, she grabbed some, he grabbed some, until finally there was only one plantain chip left. She thought to herself, I wonder what this plantain chip thief is going to do now? And the man grabbed the last plantain chip, looked at her and smiled, broke it in half, gave her half, and ate the other half. Beatrice was so angry, she was furious. This is what's wrong with the world. This is the problem with Ghana. This man is so wicked. Wicked. Finally, her flight was called. She grabbed her newspaper. She grabbed her handbag. She marched away. With one final look, she gave him daggers. And she got on the plane. She settled in the plane. And she was shaking so bad. She said, I've got to find something to relax me. She began digging through her purse. And when she went into her purse, she got the shock of her life. Because there in her purse was an unopened bag of plantain chips. The plantain chips they'd been eating weren't hers, they were his. He wasn't the plantain chip thief, she was. Because past emotional wounds affected her conduct. And she was corrupted in her conduct because she never dealt with her reaction to her emotions. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. What you resent, you will eventually resemble. Anyone who's being cheated out of something will feel angry. That's natural. But what's wrong here is that her emotions were not a result of the truth, but her emotions were a consequence of past hurt. And remember, hurt hinders clear thinking. So don't carry yesterday's wounds into today's relationships. That's why Job 11, 13 to 16 says, so commit yourself to God completely. Reach out your hands to him for help. Call on God. Get rid of all the sin you have. Don't let anything that is evil stay in your tent. Then, free of those things, you can face others. Free of the hurts, you can face anyone. Free of the past, you can face your boss. Free of the past, you can face your spouse. Free of all those bondages, you can face others. You can stand firm without being afraid. You can be sure you will forget your troubles. They will be like water that has flowed on by. Get rid of the sin. Let go of the hurt. Let God come in and get involved. Let him handle it. And you can face others. You can have peace in your relationship. For peace begins when your demand for payment ends. So what can help us get rid of the hurt? How can we stop demanding payment from others? Well, we need to consider our third truth. Consider the reasons for other people's emotions. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word reasons. And let me read for you the final two verses in our text, verses 20 and 21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And think about what God is actually telling us. He's giving you step by step to get out of the mess and get your life at peace with others. He said, first of all, address your emotions, understand their role, and look at your reaction. And then he says, consider the other person. Think about the other person. Think about their needs. Think about how you would feel if you were them. Put yourself in their place and consider the other person. Because when you consider other people, it overcomes the barriers to peace. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a man named Jamario Howard from Alabama, USA. Last April, Jamario Howard and his two friends went to Brad's restaurant in their hometown of Oxford, Alabama, USA. As they sat there, they ordered their meal, and when they were waiting for their food, Jamario noticed an elderly white woman sitting by herself at another table. Now, I'll be frank, in that area of the United States, they have a history of racism, white against black, and there's often tension and bad feelings. But Jamario didn't look at her age or her gender or her race. He said to himself, I would feel very bad if I had to eat alone in a restaurant. Jamario put himself in her shoes and got up and went over and walked over and talked to the woman and said, how are you doing? Can I talk to you? She said, yes, and she invited him to sit down. And as these two strangers started talking, Jamario found out that the woman had lost her husband. And the very next day, they would have celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. The woman was obviously lonely and hurting. Jamario considered her emotions and said, "You can't eat alone. You come and join me and my friends at our table." So he invited her to join them, and she did. And here's their picture eating together. She's a woman, he's a man. She's white, he's black. She's old, he's young. But any chasm can be bridged when you consider the other person. And if consideration could bridge the gap between these two strangers, what would consideration do for you in your connected relationships? What would do for our church if we considered one another? See, when you understand that everyone around you has hurts just like you do, it makes you sympathetic. It helps you to be considerate. When you realize that everybody else around you has brought an environment from their past into their present relationship, it helps you see beyond the emotion. You do, your spouse does, your father does, your boss, your enemy does. Every one of us brings our past into our present. And when you consider their emotions, you realize that oftentimes people are not trying to hurt you. They're only reacting to you out of their hurt from others. See, here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Hurt people. Some of the people hurting you today don't hate you. They just don't know how to respond because they've been hurt. When anyone's hurt, the natural response is to strike out and lash out at others. When we're hurt, we tend to take it out on other people. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. See, there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. An excuse is a justifiable reason why something was done. A reason is just information that doesn't justify the action. If you miss work and you're able to get an excuse duty, it means that you're absolved of wrongdoing. You excused, you have justifiable reason. But if you don't get excuse, you may have all the reasons in the world, but you are not justified, you're still guilty. For example, if I'm on my way to work and the Uber driver kidnaps me and ties me up and holds a gun to my head, I have a justifiable excuse. I couldn't get to work because I was physically detained. But if you go out to Exhale Lounge on Garden Road and smoke and drink all night, you stay in bed till noon and you go to bed, get up and go to work late, you don't have an excuse. You may have a reason, the reason you did that because you were drunk and hungover, but it's your fault, it's not justifiable. If you believe it, say amen. And understand that when someone hurts you, it's not an excuse, but there may be a reason. If someone hurts you, it's inexcusable, and I'm sorry for you, but there may be a reason. And when you understand that reason, it can help mitigate the hurt and help you consider them and help you forgive. Because wounded fathers wound their children. And maybe your dad never said one good word to you. Maybe he criticized you morning, noon, and night. Maybe he made fun of you and mocked you and never showed you love. And that's not right. And I'm sorry you suffered that. You did not deserve that. You are valuable and precious in the sight of God. But let me help you understand today, the reason your father treated you like that is because that's how his father treated him. And when he was faced with his own child, he didn't know how to love you. He only knew what he'd seen from everybody else. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. Your mother criticized you continually. You could never do anything right. Nothing was good enough. It hurt you and it made you become fearful of failure. And today you're angry at your mother. And I understand that. What she did is not right and there is no excuse for that. You didn't deserve it. But consider the reason she treated you like that. She didn't hate you. That's all she knew growing up. It's not an excuse, but it's a reason. Your mother didn't have love in her life. She didn't have any love to give to you. It's not an excuse, but it's a reason. It's not make it right, but it does make sense. It doesn't change what happened to you, but it can change how it affects you when you consider the reason. When you understand that hurt people, it helps you to not focus so much on your pain, but rather focus on the truth. When you understand that your parents wounded you because they were wounded, it can give you determination to break the cycle of abuse and raise a new generation in love. You can turn the information into transformation. You can turn the hurt from the past generation into hope for the next generation. Today we're celebrating Children's Weekend because these children are our future. They're the heritage God has given to us. They're the future of Ghana, the future of the church. And we dare not continue to raise them with the same old cycle of inadequacy and image and irresponsibility. We dare not continue to wound them the way we were wounded. God has given us these children as an opportunity to break the cycle and raise up a new generation that lives in love for God and love for one another. So I urge you today to consider your children's future and stop the behavior that wounds their emotions. That's why Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. Let us encourage one another with words of hope. When you consider other people, you'll realize that their rejection of you is not a reflection on you. They didn't reject you or abuse you or abandon you because you're bad. They rejected you because of a rejection spirit in their own hearts. It's a reflection of their pain. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you finally today. The number one error we make during conflict in relationship is to assume motive. When someone hurts us or someone offends us, we automatically say, you don't care. You don't love me. We assume their motive is bad. But rather than considering an attack against us as being something coming out of an evil motive, try to consider their reason for their emotions. Understand they may be acting out of pain and take your emotions as a catalyst to bring change in your relationship. For when you're committed to the relationship and when you're considerate of one another, you'll always live in peace. That's the promise given to us in Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. It says, never let loyalty, that's commitment, and kindness, that's compassion. Never let loyalty and kindness, commitment and compassion, never let them leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you'll find favor with both God and people. You'll earn a good reputation. You can begin to have peace in all your relationships. You can begin to connect to God and to others. When you consider the role of emotions, they're not bad, but they can be destructive. Learn to use them as a catalyst for change. Consider your reaction to the emotions. What triggered this pain in me? What triggered this response? What has happened in the past that I need God to heal? What do I need to let go of today so that God can come in and bring healing? And consider the other person. Consider their reaction to their emotions. Maybe they too have been hurt. They too are wounded. And their conflict with you is not a reflection of you as much as is a reflection on them. Be committed. Be considerate. For when we do that, we can live at peace with anyone. When we do that, we can overcome evil with good. When we do that, we can replace families that hurt with families that heal. We can make complicated relationships peaceful. And when we are committed and considerate, we can obey God's command in Romans 12, 9 and 10. Your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Do only what is good. Love each other in a way that makes you feel close, like brothers and sisters. If that's your desire, then would you bow your head, pray with me? Almighty Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you understand our emotions, for you feel emotions too, anger and sadness, joy, hope, sorrow. Help us, Lord, not to see our emotions as something to ignore, but as a voice speaking to us to address needs, wounds, issues in our lives. Help us to see our emotions as the voice of the barriers blocking us from you so that we can use those emotions to trigger change in us, that we can consider the role of emotions as a teacher, teaching us to remove the shackles, the chains, the hurts and the fears so that we can come to you. Help us, Lord, to control our response to our emotions. Help us to understand today that even when we feel strongly, we don't need to act in a wrong way, but we can make room for you. So come into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Heal us of the hurts. Heal us of the wounds. Free us from the things of our past so that we can face others and consider them. Consider their feelings, consider their past, consider their wounds, and put ourselves in their shoes to bridge the gap, to live at peace, to simplify whatever is complicated. We thank you by faith now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, church. May we be on our feet.